For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Dragon Reviewed, and finally we're here actually discussing the episodes. We did already cover some reactions of Christine and Kyle doing the trailer just last week, but we will be covering all the first three episodes today. Guys, remember we are on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Tell the guys what else you can find on there. Lots of YouTube.
lots of anime reactions, but reviews and podcasts covering all sorts of stuff in geek, pop culture, entertainment. The Wheel of Time being one of those. Andor season 2, our Star Wars show, The Cantina, will be coming back for that. Literally a lot of cool stuff. Horror movie reviews are on here. See some of those right there. We have all of our audio podcasts do go up at all on the Genreverse podcast channel and all your favorite podcast apps. Forgot to plug that last time. And Cam does sports talk on Genreverse Sports Channel. That's linked down somewhere, like in the homepage. And LRMonline.com, you can find Cam's written reviews for The Wheel of Time and all sorts of other entertainment articles covering page, screen, gaming. If you're into it, so
especially
are we.
Reviews. There's a lot of TVM reviewing at the moment. I feel as if I'm doing three or four series a week right now. It's not always like that, but that's
get ready to
right
add
now.
More.
yeah.
Well, I guess if some come in, some go off as well. So, but yeah, it's just a busy time of year for things I like, I guess. But yeah, all that kind of geek content, that's what we're into, and that definitely covers Wheel of Time. I'm a huge fantasy fan. If you've never watched this before, I have read the Wheel of Time books, so I know everything that's kind of roughly going to happen.
Know
but
it all.
Christine and Kyle do not. They've never read any of the Wheel of Time books, and their experience so far has just been watching the show as it's aired on the day. No early access, anything like that at all. And
nobody likes us that
much. It's been fun so far, but you know, actually, you know, that's what people want to hear in terms of Wheel of Time book reader fans. I think they really like hearing non-book readers' reactions to certain things, so you know, that's what we're going to focus on, not getting into any spoilers from me or anything like that at all here.
Please, in the comments, guys, mark if you want to put a spoiler to discuss with others, put spoiler warning and then give like five or six tabs down, enter down, and then discuss that. Or we have a Discord linked in the description box and a spoiler room. We'll chit chat with you, Cam included.
Yeah, but then it would be good to have a spoiler room for show watchers as well. Maybe we could have one just for...
Well, you could start the thread. It could be book spoilers or
just like label book
spoilers. The spoiler room, start a thread, and whatever you want to discuss, guys, have at it there, and we'll chit chat with you as well.
Discord's open to anyone. You can start any thread you want. We have got three episodes to cover, which is quite a lot this week. So let's just get right into it. While we're talking about comments and stuff like that as well, I will just say that in future weeks going forward, if there are any questions that you would like to ask Christine and Kyle, or me, but, you know, non-spoilery questions only, but mostly probably for Kyle and Christine that you would like to ask them, what do you think about this, what do you think about that, please just send them in and we'll be absolutely happy to include them in future episodes going forward. Anyway, guys, episode one. A bit of an episode. So who wants to start?
You can start.
Shocking. I really wish... It's really hard to do reactions to anything more than 30 minutes. It really is. The longer they are, the longer the edits, the longer we're presenting a reaction is different than truly just watching something on your.
And there's a lot of dead time for a watcher as well.
We weren't going to necessarily ever be able to do reactions to it, but God, I wish we did it to the first like 15 minutes, because holy crap, what an introduction. It does feel a bit rushed, and there's a few things throughout these first few episodes that feel kind of like, hey, we need to condense some stuff. There's bad guys about, there's conspiracies going on, and we're just gonna say, hey, they're happening, and move right past it. There's some connections to stuff from the previous seasons, of course, but it was cool. It was unexpected, and that's always nice. I like the time that we get with we'll call them the kids, you know, Rand and his crew. You get to see some of the willingness in these episodes, and we're supposed to be just talking about episode one. Sorry. It was great. I really enjoyed it overall. Way to kick off the season. Brutal, you know, getting to see some people killed in some fun and creative ways. As a horror fan, I'm wearing my Newfound Glory Nightmare on Elm Street themed shirt. So seeing people cut in half, beheaded, stabbed through the chest, it's pretty cool.
What was your favorite death from that episode?
I mean, come on, anytime someone's cut in half and you show the pieces sliding off,
I think that's the one that stuck for me as well. It was just really nice, wasn't it? It was like a weave of air, like a saw blade just going right through them. Bye-bye.
And I guess I should say, you know, we discussed the show's spoilers. So if you haven't seen the episodes, please don't watch this, because we're definitely going to talk about what we saw in it. Go see first and then come back and watch this. But seeing Leandrin get freaking skewered, even though it didn't stick, damn it.
I know.
Was just like, you both of us were like, yeah.
And then, like, you could see the scene coming, and they're like, no! People, eh?
Yeah, that was rough. That
like,
was,
you could see them coming to heal her, and like, dang it.
Could they have healed the women that get cut in half? Like, how far does it go?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen them heal before with it, but
I know
they
can't fix death, right? They can't fix death, but, you know, like, how long would you survive cut in half? Worth thinking about. I'm sure Robert Jordan, the author, would have told us to stop worrying about such stupid things and go and get a life, which he did tell a fan once who got too technical with how some of his magic systems worked in later books. But anyway.
Thank goodness this wasn't an anime.
What did I think?
You, Christine? Yeah.
It felt so intense. I felt like I was on like a roller coaster and they decided to like pull up the speed, and I'm just everywhere, and people, it's like I didn't see, you know, the betrayal coming. And every single one of them, like, it just kept going. And what is her name? The, she was the short.
With the dwarfism?
Yeah. I don't remember her name.
It's not Leanne, it's something so similar names.
Exactly.
It starts with AL as well.
The red with dwarfism. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. And it was just, it was a lot. But I loved it, of course. So
there's a lot of, a lot more Black Aja than I thought there would end
exactly.
up being.
Yeah.
I will say this. I noticed it like right off the bat when Leandrin comes in and makes her statements, right? You could see reactions amongst the seated, or whatever they're called, and some of their reactions were so not well acted. There's one of them, I think it was a yellow, who literally was like and it looked like,
but
she
actually,
was
I
trying
think that makes
to
sense for Aes Sedai, because like when they claim she's a Black Aja, like I don't see, this is something I think they got better in the books, like they just don't believe that's possible. Do you think people, anybody who suggests that must be silly? Because how could there be Black Aja in the Aes Sedai where they're all, you know, where the oaths and everything like that? They just don't get it, you know?
I don't know. It didn't look all great. It looked like when someone's like being satirical, like you tell one lady tells her friend something and she's like, oh, for real? Like, it looked like that. And I was just like, I didn't. It was something I noticed, but overall, good episode.
Well, but there's so many questions I could ask about episode one, but we must spend time on the other ones as well. But what did you think of the Gray Man?
Which that was interesting.
That was strange.
Because that's a bit unique for this series. That's something that's still a little bit different. That you don't
and
get
we get to see how
franchises.
One is made. At least what looked like to be one being made. But I think that was episode two. I don't remember specifically, but
I think it was the very end of episode one was the creation of the Gray Man. So the Gray Man turns up at first. But I wondered if you noticed all the places he showed up, because I really like how it's easy to describe this in a book. You can say, oh, there's a person there, but just nobody sees them and they can walk right up to people. But how do you do that on film? And
you
I like the way that they showed
by
them
in
scenes
the back
but
of a
we don't quite ever
doorway.
Focus
yeah.
on it
I thought
anything.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I didn't see it
I
much.
Did a couple times.
So like them saying later on that the Gray Man are, you know, like invisible, you know, you don't notice them. Like they did a really good job executing that.
Yeah.
And I
really
thought that
good.
Was really
more
interesting.
More than you probably know, because if you had to have the time to go back and watch it and really analyze
probably
it,
see more
you'd
than
probably
a
be better waiting for a YouTube video to do it. You know, it'll show you all the places where that person shows up first. And they even went and added an extra one in for fans that had watched the fan event Saturday. Between last week and this week, they added one in and gave it as a challenge to fans to say, can you spot the extra one that we put in of the Gray Man? And yesterday, people were spending ages trying to find it. Of course, they didn't find it.
It makes it makes there be a danger situation where it's like, dude can literally be anywhere. So reach out and touch you.
Yep. So what about grades then? Kel, what was your grade for episode one?
Well, for those of you that might not know or have watched our previous reviews, we use the ABC plus or minus scale here on the Genreverse and at LRM online. I didn't even look at your grades. Like I said, I think there was a few things rushed, and that's in all of these episodes, or maybe not rushed. Anyways, we'll get there. There was some rushed stuff here, but not bad. There's little issues with some of the acting, but again, not too bad. There is some CG issues, but not too bad. Overall, a solid start to the season. Somewhere between B plus, A minus. I'd because I had so much fun with the violence and shock, maybe an A minus. I think it's a really good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Christine?
I felt like some of the rushed parts of it was I thought some of it was a good idea, because it's chaotic, it's supposed to be messy, you're everywhere.
It's supposed to be fast-paced, the episode.
Exactly. Yeah. You're supposed to, it's supposed to feel like that. I'd give it an A, so.
What'd you give it, Cam?
I gave it an A, so I'm with Christine on this one. Sucks to be you, Kel. We're not far off. I think it's the best opening episode they've had from season one, season two. So that was the best opening episode. And I think maybe because the show does need to get viewers to draw people in, having a really fast-paced opening episode was a good idea, I think, because people were kind of raving about it that aren't necessarily Wheel of Time fans. So,
good.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
On to episode two, who wants to start us off on this one?
I started first last time.
Okay, I can start.
Criticisms.
Off. Right off the bat, another thing I didn't see coming, just the queen gets crowned and assassinates you know, gets them to kneel and then just kills them. Like, it was just so brutal. Really cool. But it was like, wow, you're really messed up. It was really good. I found the princes to get on my nerves, but I think they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. Even in the books, they're supposed to get in your nerves. So
exactly. It's like you love to hate them.
It did make a certain scene in episode 3 really fun, though.
It does. It set it up very well, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Obviously, with the trailer, we saw that they were going to split up. So I felt really bad for Lan having to go through this thing that Moraine wanted to split them up. And it was so good to see, like, his reaction to it. Like, he's just, it's so uncomfortable. And it was horrifying. But, you know, like, all the things that they were going through, it was really good. Just
He's not as ruthless as Moraine is, and I think we do see that side of Moraine that she, I think Lanfear even says, that's the side I like about you, that you've got that ruthlessness about you. That's kind of that's your Aes Sedai, isn't it? They're not quite your usual emotional people sometimes. And I think what you mentioned about Merghaez and the cold open as well, you know, different times, you know, I think it's a scene that's a lot of fans thought was maybe too brutal compared to the books, I'll say. But actually, what happened off page, Robert Jordan described it as a brutal succession war. So I think they kind of kept with that thinking for me. I think what it did a really good job of was showing us who Aelaide is as well very quickly, you know, because Aelaide is the person that's behind the throne, right? So she's the one advising what to do. And I think they had to, because they haven't introduced her yet in the show until this season, they had to kind of hit the ground running to introduce and say, this is what she's like. You know, she might all be calm on the surface, but there's all this going on as well.
Yeah, set the tone and set it quick kind of thing.
Was there anything, I mean, Kyle, any thoughts you've got, but also was there anything that you didn't like at all in episode 2? Or criticisms?
I liked it overall. There's a lot of politicking in it, and I like intrigue and mystery and double dealing, backstabby stuff. So it's cool to dig into some of that and laying groundwork for some reveals we get in episode 3. The stuff Lanfear does and learning what else she's been doing in people's dreams and stuff like that. I dug all of that. I do think it's funny how just like anyone can be, I want to go through the arches now. It's just time to go. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Is it like that in the books? Like, I don't remember if that was something they're allowed to do or if they're just kind of because they need to move the pieces around.
I mean,
in
I think
the show.
At this point in time, even in the books, they kind of need to push these guys on a little bit, right? So I think there's definitely an element of that. Because after what's happened to Egwene, you know what I mean, when she's been a demand and all that sort of stuff, she's going to go back to scrubbing pots, you know what I mean? She's used powers that half of these people have never even used before, you know, because Aes Sedai don't weaponize their powers in that way. I mean, for her and Elaine, I think there's definitely an element of that. But obviously, we do get to see a little bit more in the books, like we did with Nynaeve in season 2, and kind of get to react to that a little bit more. Whereas in the show, we got just a little bit of Egwene. But I thought it was a good scene showing like Rand,
being
where
mad
he could
and
go, where he could go in terms of being,
and she would
Darth
be the one
Rand,
to take him
basically
down
at that point,
all
you know.
Of that. I do have one small complaint, and I have no idea if these are described in the book as this, but the clothing. The clothing looks like Fashion Week clothing. It looks like runway.
Especially episode 3.
Yeah, Kyle runway mentioned. Model clothing. Like clothing that is never actually made to be worn other than,
like
I said,
it's supposed to be
Fashion
art.
Week or something. It was a bit distracting. It was a bit too here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not sure if it's described like that.
think you've got to remember that actually, amazingly, Robert Jordan goes into quite a lot of detail on fashion, especially ladies' fashion, as opposed to the guys, which I think are most, but he describes all their outfits and how they dress in quite a lot of detail, more so than, say, I would do if I was writing a bit, because that I'm not too interested in the clothes other than the basics. So it's not quite that medieval world Wheel of Time, because remember it's been
years. I wasn't looking necessarily for that.
Yeah, they do have some like wild, crazy fashions and things. Especially the Aes Sedai and the royal court and stuff like that. You know, where they've got plenty of moolah.
There was just times where it almost felt like some of the stuff I've never actually watched a full one of these movies, but some of the clothing that the people from like the richer people in Hunger Games were wearing, and it just maybe it's even the fabrics, maybe if it was different fabrics, just something of it almost felt CW-ish, like I would see it like that. And like I said, you know, maybe it's meant to be,
because a lot of people praise the costume designer in Wheel of Time because of the
I think for the most part it's
a bit
good,
different,
but
stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah,
to me.
Especially season 3. Kyle pointed it out, and I was like, "Yeah, like looking at Leandrin in episode 3, it was a little too fashion week." So
I get
it.
That with the big veil and stuff like that she had on and things. Yeah, I think they were attending or turning up at a wedding and gatecrashing it, I think, at that point as well.
That's a good point.
But also there is like Tanchico that is where they are at the end. I know
it's a different place.
But where they are,
they
all have a very different fashion from everywhere else. So when all the characters go there, you're going to see them dressed like people from Tanchico.
Mm-hmm.
How that, I don't know how that I'll decide that looks. So we'll let you guys, I've only seen a couple of still images and stuff like that, but it's definitely described as having its own complete fashion sense in the books as well. What about grades then for episode 2, guys, before we get into the third one?
I think I would give this one an A-. No, I think I would give it an A. I don't have a lot of negative to say. I did want to mention, like, I loved seeing how Egwene, you know, I hate that everything that's gone through with her, but it's really made her tough, and I love seeing her kick ass. So
she's a different person. You know, after that event, for sure. It's really sad that she's still having to go through those dreams, though, and Lanfear's literally strangling her every night.
I didn't even see that coming.
And pretending to be the person, you know, because it's not like just her dreaming. She's got the scars on her neck when she wakes up in the morning from being actually strangled. So
I will say one thing negative that I didn't like about it is the kids seem kind of haughty. Like they got their chests puffed out, where it's like they're walking tall, chin high. You know, like you kind of see it with the acting, and it's like, okay, don't go too far. The world will humble you.
Was episode 2? Yeah, episode 2 is where Leandrin goes and takes out like the grandson or whatever of her husband or whatever she said. Or was that episode 3?
No, that was 2. No, it was 3.
Was that 3?
No, that's in the third one. Yeah, we don't see too much.
So yeah, we won't go there.
One,
two was one with a lot of walking and a lot of shots of people walking. I give
everybody going where they needed to go.
Right,
you know, eventually. Yeah,
I give the episode a B+ because I think editing wise, I think some of it was a bit I don't want to say choppy, but a bit too long. It felt filler. Felt fillery. It felt like they were trying, like we could get the idea of movement, and you've done it in this series before where it's very quickly, but here you were doing one too many wide angle Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings walking shots. We had too many of them in this episode.
Maybe an A-. I'll change that.
And some of the intrigue stuff going on, excuse me, again felt like rushed, and where we could have spent, you know, maybe more time with some more dialogue fleshing out some of these discussions, I think would have been a better choice. So I gave it a B+ this time around.
Okay. I'm going to change my answer to A minus.
That's fine. That's fine. You're allowed to change your answers on here.
What about you, Ken?
Once I've put it in print. I gave it a B, which is actually lower than any of you, strangely enough. And it's not that I particularly had any criticisms about it. I just think it was a moving episode. It was designed to get everybody from that excitement of episode one and get them to certain places they needed to be in setups for things that were a little bit better than episode three. So it did its job, but it's not one that you're going to go back and say, oh, remember that episode and remember that moment so much. So it was serviceable, it was fine. You enjoy watching it. There's enough there, you know, that you're not bored, but there's no big drama either, really.
I would say, like, if you're going to binge the show or binge the season or just the entire show, it would be one that I wouldn't want to miss out on, because I think, like, we need those come down moments instead of
I don't think you can, well, there's a danger if you try to make a show at the same pace as episode one was all the time, you actually end up with no story and just a whole lot of set pieces. So they definitely had to take a breather. So I'm not saying I wouldn't have necessarily done the same thing. Okay. I just think you have to accept it's not going to be the one that wins any Emmy Awards.
It could have been a shorter episode. You could have potentially... Well, I was going to say, episode one and three are definitely too long to really add on to. So it's not like sometimes I'll be like, oh, this episode could have been, you know, half on the previous and half on the next. Those are too long. But maybe it didn't need to be as long as it was. But it is what it is.
Okay, well, moving on to episode three, we'll just go general thoughts. Anything that kind of stands out to you guys in terms of, obviously we did talk about that scene that was set up in episode two and then happens. And I think anybody who's a book reader will want to know what you thought about the scene of Matt fighting Galad and Gawain with his bow staff.
I mean, don't let me forget to talk about the beginning stuff.
We won't.
But I, at the beginning of that episode, because that meeting was interesting. But that was great. You know, he's Matt himself has been cocky, but I mentioned to Christina, I was like, well, what happens if this is what he needs? Like, he finds out being trained is a way to deal with all the stuff going on in his mind and this connection to the heroes of time or heroes of the horn. I had Legend of Zelda in my mind. It's right there. I got a poster right there of Link, the hero of time. Anyways, it was great. It was fun to see him kick their ass and get two marks each.
Yeah, like embracing. It felt like more like instead of fighting, what's going on with him? He's kind of more like acceptance, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's fun to see the prince's asses get kicked. Mm-hmm. So,
plus everybody likes a rogue who's really a good guy over a straight laced good guy, don't they? You know, there's something charming about someone a bit Han Solo like, you know, that's got a bad side to them as well. But, you know, as like Swan said to him, and I think it was episode two, you know, if there was a, like, her uncle or something like that, and back in the village, it was a line lifted straight out of the books. Are you the kind of person that would go back into the burning building again and again until there was no one left, even if it meant your own life? And he's just like, yeah, because that's the right thing to do, you know, and that's the person Matt is. He's not necessarily a good guy that you would say, oh, you're a good friend, he'll always back me up. But if it's the right thing to do, he'll
he may be a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wreck-It Ralph
just,
is like...
He's just him. He's just him.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph's one of my favorite things ever. I love that movie.
And I think that Min jumps to help him because of that. Because, like, it just seems like, you know, you guys fight a lot and you do put yourself out there. But yeah, like, she's always jumping to help him, it seems. And I think that's probably part of it.
I think they've built their relationship better than it was in the books a little bit. I don't want to go too far through it, but I think their relationship's been quite a fun little dynamic so far in the show for me.
Yeah.
Kyle, you wanted to talk about... Oh, sorry, were you going to say something, Kristen?
No. No, I'm just waiting for him because I know you wanted to talk about the beginning.
Yeah,
the meeting at the beginning. It's interesting to think about what you know. We're meeting multiple Forsaken here at one point. We're learning that they really don't want to go down the path Lanfear wants to go down. We learn that they also don't necessarily want to go down the same path as each other. They just don't want to be with her, and they have as much backstabbing and politicking and groups and subgroups as the non-Forsaken have. The idea of putting enough of a spell that you can insert 10 years of history into a large group of people, and even the Amelin Seat acts as if she knows this guy for a long time. Like, what type of magic?
You see actually, power. If you go back and watch it, you see it in the change that the face just goes, oh, Lord, people, it's always so nice to see. Yeah. Everybody's always dead nice to him as well, you know?
Yeah. So is it something that he's like exerting as he's like walking around? And if you're away from him, would you start to question some of your memories?
So
you don't have to say any spoilers.
I would just say that if all Aes Sedai, if we talk about, you know, magic users, right, users of the One Power, they all have very specific skills. Some, it's not necessarily about power, but some people just have a knack, a specific skill for something, right? And I think the best way to imagine it at the moment is just, that's his thing. He's the compulsion guy. You know, they can all use it, but he's the guy, you know, for that sort of stuff. And it just goes about.
I was thinking of it as almost like, is it limited to like a Purple Man level? You know, like exposure time makes the stuff last longer, but it's only immediately around him or not.
I will say some fans think they went a little bit far with it. You know, I don't know. I think it'll be fine. It depends what they decide to do with it going forward. Let's just wait and see.
And the spiderweb lady, she gets around. Yeah. She gets around a lot and quickly, and if I was taking a guess to any of them that are supremely loyal to the Dark One, it would probably be her. But because she seems to be doing a little bit of everything, but that could also be the exact opposite, to where she's maybe more like Lanfear and more rogue and is just a little bit of everywhere, weaving a web, if you
doing
will.
What she wants to do, kind of thing. Yeah.
But I liked getting to see that. I like to see bad guys get some development and have their own agenda more than just mustache twirling. Even though it's good Hollywood, we could use a little bit of mustache twirling. Not every villain needs to be sympathetic and tragically a bad guy.
In most movies, if the bad guys work together as a team, they'd win every day. And that's part of the attraction of bad guys. They never work well together. They fall out with each other. They backstab each other, you know. And they lost the war in the Age of Legends from fighting against each other and you know, not necessarily doing what they should have been doing, which was trying to defeat Luz Theron, aka the dragon previously. I really enjoyed that scene. You know, it felt like something straight out of the books for me, because they have a lot more of these little meetings sometimes in the books that you can't always put in the show. Let's go for grades for that one.
I think it was good, solid A episode for me. I got a lot of the politicking that I liked. I got a lot of story. There, you know, in episode 3, I forgot to mention Leandrin gets there's one moment where we actually cheer her on, and that's ripping out the heart of a monster, which was pretty freaking cool.
Slave bride situation, which is obviously, they're giving her that backstory in terms of so that we do feel some sympathy for them. And one of the things I think that they are doing in this series is trying to let us understand why some people went down the bad path, you know, kind of thing, because of the experiences that happened to them ultimately. So I think they're doing that a little bit with Leandrin, and it's cool.
Overall, I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. I could give it I think I could give it an A.
Yeah, I would agree. Something I wanted to mention, I needed to pull up the names, but it was Alana and Maxim They were the two in the throuple, right? Am I getting the right?
Yeah, Alana, Maxim, and then Yvonne was the one that died in episode one. So, you know, that's why they're all mopey about it. But I remember, in, I think it was season one or season two, the two guys got together and that's how he became the warder. So they met each other before, you know, rather than him and Alana, and then Alana met somebody separately, and then it was the other way around about for them. So it does kind of make the dynamic a little bit different, you know?
Yeah, and then the conflict of, you know, will they be able to get through this? You know, I like the path that they're placing for their story. So I liked getting that detail on that. And what else am I missing? The Leandrin, I didn't see the dream coming, even though it's like now you see, you're like, oh, it's so obvious. But like it was just, it had a lot of shock.
You mean Lanfear?
Lanfear, yes. Yeah. Not Leandrin. Leandrin's the
bread.
Yes. But yeah, like I don't think there's anything else to add to that.
What'd you give it, Cam?
I gave it an A minus, and just in terms of if I was ranking the three of them, I thought episode one was my favourite, then episode three, then episode two kind of thing. So I just kind of went that way and hoping for room to improve. But I think I really enjoyed getting to see the Matt scene, which happened much earlier in the books. And it's I think I get why they kept it to now, because they hadn't introduced those characters yet. And how could they have fitted that Andor royal family in any earlier, you know? So now they've brought them in and I laid it in. Because they're there initially in book one, but then you don't see anything for them for a while and they come back. You can't do that in TV shows and get good actors. Like, they've got Olivia Williams to play Morghese, and they've got Shora, I can never pronounce it. Dashlew, sorry. Apologies, Shora. I'm not very good at pronunciation in Scotland. You know, getting those quality actors in, you're not going to do that and then they bugger off and do another job and come back in season three or something like that.
Yeah.
So I can see why they did that now, but it's, I'm liking that we're getting to where Matt needs to go, because he is my favourite character, and now we're kind of starting to see that Matt materialize out of the snarky, weird, dagger obsessed one that we had kind of earlier on that was a little bit weird. Anyway, yeah, so I gave it an A minus, but for me, still a very good score, for sure. So just to kind of finish off, I do have a couple of questions for you, not too much. One of them we kind of already talked about anyway, but the first thing I was going to ask you is, of the three cold opens, so that being the Aes Sedai fight in episode one, the Morghese succession killing her rivals in episode two, and then the Forsaken Tea Party in episode three, what would you rank as your favourite? So 1, 2, 3.
I would just put it as 1, 2, 3.
Christine.
1, 2, 3.
Fair play. Fair play.
Well, 1, 3, 2. I mean, the violence and the neck stabby and all that was fun. I liked that, like I said, the conspiracy and the bad guy stuff. So I'd probably go 1, 3, 2. So,
I agree with you, Kill. I went 1, 3, 2 as well.
Okay. Suck it.
Now, guys, I know you all want to agree with me, but you don't have to think about it, you know. You're a married couple. So next question. Do you think Lanfear is genuine in what she said to Rand about her desire to remove herself from the oaths that she has to the Dark One?
I don't trust anything out of that woman's mouth.
Involved in this.
Maybe partially. But yeah, like it's so hard to read her for me.
Maybe she wants to. I'm with Christine. I don't necessarily trust anything and everything she says, but I do think she at least really wants to do that, and when the time comes, will she get cold feet or freak out, not want to be tied down, you know? But I think she at least is truly entertaining the idea of spending eternity time and time again with whoever the dragon will be. the others seem to really, you know, not be trusting of her, wanting to actively work against her because of her attachment. So I'm leaning towards there's sincerity, whether or not it's full dedication. I'm not sold on that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I obviously will not be putting my own thoughts there. Did you think anything was up with Gabriel before? Because obviously I was quite surprised they revealed him right at the start of episode 3 after just introducing him in episode 2. I kind of like they did. You know, because it was obvious in the books that he was off as well. But did you spot anything up with him initially when he came in and, you know, before you see that reveal and you go, oh, that's that guy that was the... No?
No, I just figured he was so nice compared to his bitch-ass wife that people really just gravitated towards him. You know, I didn't get that.
Like, she's dead. Yeah. And he's a bit, oh, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. That's what I thought the Swin was. Did I say her name right? Amelin
Swan. Swan. Yeah.
Swan. Okay. Almost had the king of a. Norway.
Oh,
King Swin. However you say it. Anyways, watch Vinland Saga and then watch our reactions. Great anime. When she reacts to him, I figured it was literally she's just like, I hate this bitch. Hey, buddy, I like you. I hate this bitch. Like that's what I thought was going on. But it seems more
if
like
you
it
go,
was.
If you know, you can go back stuff. And watch it, every time he's introduced to someone new. There's an element of they do almost like a double take. There's a bit of head shaking going on or something like that. Like he goes into Elaine on her own and she's like, you know, everybody, if you watch the Amberlin's like this, you know, inviting everybody in, make them wait. Mm-hmm. She introduces everybody and she looks at him and she's like, oh, Raven, you know? And then Leanne next to him, you know, she's doing the same thing as well. And it just doesn't seem right. You know, kind of thing.
So
I was just wondering if you had picked up on it first. Obviously, it's difficult for me because as soon as he walks in the door, I'm like, I know who you are.
Yeah, for me, it just kind of seemed like he was the character in the family that kind of made the house the home and the one that they can all turn to and
the one that can soften the queen's heart.
Yes, that too. But yeah, that was my thought on it.
Okay, so last question for you then, and this is looking ahead at what I, because I kind of know what's coming next week because the showrunners talked about episode 4 as this, right? So something's going on. So I want to ask you specifically about Rand and the Aiel, right? And what they talk about is that he will unite them and lead them, but he will also break them and destroy them. Any guesses on what that could be before we get to next week? Because I think you're going to find some of that out.
Like conflict, like battles, maybe. Like there's going to be some warring going on, or it's like we're already seeing death, like on their travels. So maybe it's just kind of like that sort of thing.
I know this is a tough question because you're like, well, you know, yeah, if you're not, you know, well, here's math. 6-page theory of why this is the case. You're not going to necessarily know that. It was just more to kind of see if there was any inkling, anything that you could thought of, because it's a strange thing to say, isn't it, that you'll both unite us and lead us, but you'll destroy us as well and break us apart.
Everyone thinks about violence in a way, but you can destroy something without destroying the person. Like you can destroy a nation without killing people. It's harder to do, but you can. You do that by inciting rebellion. You do that by supporting, you know, different candidates in a race. Like you, what if? And I'm not saying that there won't be death and destruction, but what if the destroying of this people is the destruction of their old ways, and uniting them under a new way, or carrying them into a new future? And yeah, there might be some actual bloodshed along with it, but I, like they said, their prophecies aren't as clear. It's all a little
it's not
wibbly,
as clean cut.
Wobbly.
Yeah, but like for me, like I was thinking that because they're very stabby,
right?
So.
But maybe they don't need to be anymore, and that's part of the destroying
kind of
them.
Like going against what everyone else has been doing with the killing. So or at least maybe
less indiscriminate killing or something yeah. like that. I think it might be an idea of cultural and people change, maybe even bringing them back into the fold of the other world, the rest of the world, the wetlanders and stuff like that, you know?
Hmm. Okay. Obviously, no thoughts for myself. Just wanted to ask that because I think we will be talking about that maybe a lot next week, possibly. I think it will be, from what I've heard anyway, there's I think that's going to be the main focus of every episode 4. Nice. I think it might be quite a doozy. Hopefully.
I'm down with that,
that's us then, guys. I mean, that's us reviewed all 3 episodes. That's not bad. We managed to get through mm-hmm. that fairly quick. Have you got any final words before we kind of sign off for the week?
Just glad to be back. I've missed the show. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And
overall, happy with the first 3 episodes so far.
Yeah. You ever, you guys, the two of you know, like, fantasy's got to be something specific. It's got to have something to hook me and. This yep. got me hooked a while ago, and I'm here for more of it. Want me to tell all the people what they can do to find more wonderful content?
Absolutely should. Okay. Yeah.
You guys check out more stuff here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Lots of reactions, reviews, podcasts covering anything and everything you can imagine in geek, pop culture, entertainment, especially the anime stuff. Our podcasts do go up at all your favorite podcast apps. You can check out all sorts of past episodes and reviews for Star Wars stuff, Wheel of Time, Marvel things, even Cam's football channel, Genreverse Sports. Check out
Genreverse Sports, soccer, Premier League football. If you're into that, if you're not, cool, that's fine. Yeah. But if you like it, come.
And of course, LRMonline.com, where Cam does a lot of the writing. I hand some things in every now and then. We've got a guy that covers comic book stuff, horror. Every genre, anything in media, it's up there. You guys check that out.
All right. That's it. Thanks very much. And we will see you next week on The Dragon Reviewed. Thanks very much for watching. And give us a like and a subscribe if you can, because we will be back every week. And remember those questions. If you want anything that you want to ask Kyle and Christine or me, please just let us know in the comments and we will absolutely include them in the following episode. Thanks for watching.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.